Yes, Father, we thank you. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Teach us this morning. Let your word reign in our hearts, in our lives, God. In this church, Father. In our families. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. You're everything to us, God. And we thank you. We praise you and we worship you. Now, Lord, I pray that the anointing will be on this teaching. It will fall on ears that hear and heart that will receive this word, Father. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Subject is identity thief. Remember? Okay. We talked about a lot of things last week, and I hope y'all remembered some of them. When I teach, I learn too. I'm learning as I go. So, last week we learned three important things we should not do, but we're all guilty of. We don't compare ourselves with other people. We can get in a performance trap, which is trying to do everything you can to please Jesus, when actually you don't have to do a thing. He's pleased with you. So don't fall into a performance trap and the opinion of others. You know, we can get hooked on the opinion of others because we want that validity in our life. We want somebody to pat us on the shoulder and say, we've done well. I mean, I'm guilty of that. When I teach, I want somebody to tell me I've done okay. I don't want to leave here and have a head full of doubt. You know, did I say something wrong? Did I do everything right? So I did. But another thing is, we can contradict the very words that come out of our mouth. We'll say something positive, and in the next minute, we'll say something negative. I'm guilty. We're all guilty of that. That's the reason God told us to watch our tongue. The tongue is an unruly evil. Nobody can tame the tongue except the Holy Spirit. And sometimes he's not doing such a good job because we won't let him. We want to be able to say what we want to say. And another thing is, the world, if they ask you a question, they don't want a religious answer. They balk at it. They just want you to be real. So we have to learn to be real, be open. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of created in Christ Jesus, reborn from above, transformed and renewed in our minds, got it? Ready to be used for good works, which God prepared for us before taking pass, which he said. God said he orders our steps. We plan our way. We say, you know, we're going here or going there. But God's going to plan your steps on how to get there, not you, if you allow him to. And sometimes you'll go around in circles before he tells you where to go, what to do. You want to hear him, but we take off on our own so many times without allowing God to lead. My question is, are we God's Spirit-led masterpiece, a process in work? Are we an imitation formed out of our own religious and secular culture's expectations? Do you know of what a world can spot a religious figure faster than we can, a religious spirit? They can spot them faster than we can. They'll know exactly if you're doing it, you're operating in a religious spirit. They will. So don't go there. Okay. There are times when we place too much emphasis and value on others' approval. And sometimes we act like a judge. We need to learn to look beneath the surface of others and not to judge, because the Bible says, judge not lest ye be judged, for wherein thou judgest another, you will be judged. So let's learn to speak correctly about other people. There's one lawgiver and judge, Jesus. Thank God for that. If we go on everybody else's judgment of us, we'd probably lay around crying all the time. The one who is able to destroy you, which is the enemy, the devil, and he will. Who are we to judge our neighbor? Romans 14:1. As for the man who is a weak believer, welcome him into your fellowship, but not to criticize his opinions or pass judgment on his scruples or perplex him with discussions. If we fuel our life's journey on the opinions of others, we'll run out of fuel quickly, and we'll have to go let somebody pump us back up. We can get down and depressed just talking to somebody about it. So did you ever wonder why the Christian life not working the way you think it should work? Have you, anybody? Why are we not seeing the miracles here in America? Why is the church not casting out devils? Why? We don't have enough belief, John. Okay, Lee, come on. Say it a little louder, honey. I couldn't hear you.
But we ain't willing to pay the price.
You got it. That's it. Did y'all hear him? There's a price. Salvation's free. Nothing else is.
Martha, it's messy.
Yes, it is. It can be. Yeah. If we are truly seeking God, and we want all of him, and you know what? He wants all of us. He just don't want a part of us. He wants all of us. And not many people are willing to give him all. You're going to hold on to maybe one little thing or hold on to a lot. Who knows? But anyway, we cannot hold on. We got to let go. Let him be God. Let him be our master. When we got saved, we changed. We gave our life to him and he became our Lord and master, not us. We took us off, or we're supposed to take ourselves off the throne and tear down the high places in our life. Those places that we have a little bit of pride showing, or we know it, we recognize it. Look in the mirror sometimes and see what comes back at you, especially if you've just been through a rough tat with somebody. Or not. You look in the mirror and say, whew, and God, he'll get you. The Bible says to the pure, all things are pure. You understand that? To the pure, all things are pure. A pure heart. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. A person with a pure heart has a singleness toward God. A singleness toward God. Everything else is behind us. And all God is in front of us. And we just got to be willing to take the road to meet him, to let him lead us and guide us. Complacent, the soul of the defiled conscience. Think about these things now. A defiled conscience is self-satisfied, complacent, hard, impenitent to the last. Think about it. The church has become complacent. The church has become self-satisfied. We don't want any more. We used to have a... That's what led me to this church. I came in and saw everybody worshiping God. And I didn't know. But I was saved. But I didn't know the God that's worshiping. But guess what? I made my mind up. I was going to find out. And I did. And you know what? The minute I done it, there's not been a day that I regret giving it all to him. Not a day. And you know, the fire of God is still in here. If you see me hoopering and hollering and doing all these kind of things, hey, I can still shout with the biggest of them. And I've been shouting ever since that day. I've been shouting, been dancing and praising and worshiping him ever since I gave him the total of who I am. Got in the Word and found out what he said. Got in the Word to know him and to know myself better. Because sometimes we operate in things of the past that are supposed to stay in the past. And the devil will drudge them back up before us and accuse us of everything under the sun to get our mind off of chasing God. Because he don't want you to find out the truth. He don't want you to find out who you are in Christ. He don't want you to do things that will glorify God. He don't. And he'll try every way in the world to stop it. The very God, like I said, the very God that we profess sometimes, our mouth defeats. We say something positive, like I said, and then we come at something negative. I know I hear, the Lord has taught me a lot of things. I used to say, I can't afford. Can't afford. And I said, nope. My God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns all the silver. He owns all the gold. And he's my provider. So you know what? We need to put, listen to this. This is heavy. We need to put a demand on God's name. And he's got a bunch of names. Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Sitkanu, Jehovah Shammah. All these names. Jehovah, God Almighty, put a demand, because there are several scriptures in the Bible where he says, for my name's sake. He wants his name glorified. And you know what? He'll protect his name, just like we'll protect our identity. God wants to protect himself. But we need to find out the names of God. And if they're true, if God is who he says he is, and I believe he is, he's not going to lie to us. So when you call on him and you say, God, I'm putting a demand on your word because your word says I'm healed. I'm putting a demand on your provision because your word says you provide everything needed for me to live this life. Everything. He's giving you everything. Yes.
And that demand is not a belligerent.
No.
Yes. A familiarity with who I am.
Right.
Thank you, Lord God. I am your
beloved.
Yes. I am the one you already are taking.
Go ahead, Mary.
So it's like a dance when you're
yes.
dancing somebody you don't know and you're not familiar, you're not sure if they're gonna be strong enough to walk
yes.
you around, then you dance more hesitantly. But when it's with someone that you know is strong enough to twirl you around and throw you over the
yeah.
you know,
praise
dance,
God.
Dance,
praise
right?
God, praise
you
God.
Yes. I know you're already taking care of me. So
yes.
Now, here's what I'm asking you to do.
I remember one time we was having a service, and Pastor Terry asked us all, this has been years ago, before my accident. He told us all to worship God, and if anybody heard anything, did anybody hear anything? Well, honey, I heard loud and clear. I heard the Lord say, I'm teaching you a new step. I was dancing with him, and he said, I'm teaching you a new step. Ooh, I said, God, thank you, I'll take that step. And it is one step forward, one step at a time, not one step forward and two steps backward. We got to keep moving forward in our walk with God. We don't get complacent. We don't get stuck. But let me tell you, if you're not worshiping, you'll get stuck. If you're not in the Word, you'll get stuck. Yes. That's it.
We're no longer poor. We're rich because we've got mansions in heaven.
We do. We got, like Mike said Wednesday night, we got a cloud of witnesses waiting on us. Okay. Let's ask ourselves. This is a few questions. What is more powerful, your sin or God's ability to overcome your sin? Which is more powerful? We forget that God's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's ever present. He's an all-time God. Can man's sin be superior to Christ's payment for that sin? Nope. When God considers you, does he look at you as a grandparent looks at a grandchild through adoring, loving eyes? God loves us, and he looks at us with eyes of love. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, everybody's different, and not everybody screams and yells and gets all that.
Right.
And still gets it, and he still gets it, and you get it. I mean, God had to yell at me for a long time. I'm telling you what. Until I trusted him, and now he's, quiet with me, and I'm more quiet. Quiet confidence will be your strength.
Yeah. Well, to me, when we're in a group setting and you're worshiping and praising God, and at home you have your quiet times, you have your peaceful times. But to me, when I come out among people, honey, I want them to see we're praising a God that we know. Because I'm telling you, that's what led me here. They were praising a God that I did not know. I knew him as my Savior, but I didn't know nothing else. We really need to be hungry. Hungry for God. And to me, it's like putting your praise under a bushel stick or a bushel. Don't put your praise under something. Let it out for the world to see. Go ahead.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah. Well, you'll know when the time hits you,
yeah.
if he gives you an unction to raise your hand, or if he gives you an unction to praise him loud. Yeah, he'll give you that unction. But you know what? I even found that. I said, Lord, set me free. Set me free. Mike, you was free Wednesday night. Right.
You know, and she's like, I want to get to that point. And it's like, it starts with one seed. It doesn't start with knowing I'm going to praise you for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't start there. It starts with a seed of gratefulness.
Yes, it does.
What he's done for you, and that's where your worship comes from. Once you can see what he's done for you, that's what's going to spring that worship. And in hearing that, you don't know.
Important.
It's corporate or private, wherever it's at, it's always going to start right at that time of gratefulness.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's about what Mary was talking about, dancing with him. If you know that he can secure you, he's your comforter. You know what he's done for you, and I think that's part of that pivotal question talk to man is who do you say he is?
Mm-hmm. Lisa, what did you want to say?
Oh, I
you forgot?
No, I just was out here.
If you got something to say, honey, say it.
Oh, no, let me say. I do not want to offend the, like, y'all is beautiful music and all that and the worship and all that. But, and I probably had a moment. I don't clap after the song because I feel like I'm clapping for ourselves. And
good point. They're unoffendable. Are you not?
And you're saying, whenever anybody is clapping, they're saying, God, you are so awesome. And whenever anybody's not clapping, it's because, God, you are so awesome.
That's right. Yes.
And if you, as you get to know, as we all get to know each other, it's just like circling around that vortex.
Praise God. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. It is. It is.
My worship, I have an audience of one.
Right.
I don't care
about impressing
anybody in this church.
I have
an audience of one. The praise team has an audience of one. So that's how I'm ushered in.
Amen.
Worship.
Amen.
That worship team could have an audience of one. Amen. And I don't care how it looks to nobody.
We should all be that way. Yeah. Thank you for... Thank you, Pat. Thank you. Okay, I want you to listen to this. Worship is an affection that is a response to truth, not to any external stimuli, including music. Music will produce emotion. Not worship. It can be the expression of the worship that is in our hearts. And I think that's exactly what you said. It's not about the music. It's not. It's not about what everybody else is doing. It's about who I know in here. They used to be just words on a page. Now they're words on my heart. Yes. Yep. Amen. Let's see what I want to do next. Okay.
Martha.
Yo. Who said that?
There's a scene in the movie Courageous.
Mm-hmm.
When the father and his daughter pleaded with him to go out and dance where other people could see him, he was too embarrassed to do it. She was later killed.
Amen, amen, amen. So there are two identities that we can identify with. The first one is a perceived identity. That is a definition of who you are characterized by how you feel, what you fear, and the ways you fail or what others have said about you. This is the identity that the enemy wants you to believe. That perception is reality, but it's not. Perception is not reality. The enemy will use all the negative experiences and others' opinions that say, this is who you are. The devil gonna tell you all kinds of things about who you are. And you gotta rebuttal it every time with the Word of God. The second identity is one inked in heaven, which was given to you by God long before you were ever born. Jeremiah 29:11, I know everybody knows that scripture. Ephesians 1:14, even before he made the world, God loved us, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Sometimes I get confused on that word holy. What is holy? What is holy? Come on, somebody, tell me what you think holy is. That's one. But when the world sees us, how do they see us? Do they see us as holy people of God? Have we given the right definition or the right appearance to this lost and dying world to show them that Christ is our Savior, He's our Lord, He's our Master? We might need to change our grave clothes and get out of them and put on some God clothes. Don't let your mind be a battlefield for defeat. Make it a breeding ground for victory. And what do? Sometimes we say, oh, I've had a rough day today. My kids are really getting on my nerves. My kids are grown. But listen, how we get into mully grubs, we want to complain about our kids who God gave to us. He loaned them to us. For a number of years, I lost my son in 1996. But I thank God I had him for the time that I had him. Because there were a couple of years that I didn't even know if he loved me. Especially when his dad and I separated. And he went with his dad. I thought I'd lost him forever. But I didn't. When he died, we cleaned out his safety box at the bank. And he had a letter in there. Had one for me, one for his dad, and one for Tanya. And in that letter, he said, Mom, if you're reading this right now, I'm going with Jesus. No, how was he said? He said, Mom, if you're reading this right now, that means that I'm with Jesus. He said, don't worry about me. Go on with your life because I will see you again one day. You tell me what kind of comfort that gave me. This comes from a 28-year-old young man. And his scripture was the one in Peter where it said, don't think about how young you are. You know, it don't matter your age. God can use you. He was the youngest city council and ever voted to the town of Forest City. Why? He loved people. He would go out in his car and pick up us elderly to go vote for him. He knew what it would take. But you know, I thank God that I found out he loved me. I know Tanya loves me because she fusses at me all the time. But anyway, okay. Are there any counterfeits in your closet? Any counterfeit identities that you want to hang on to? Come on now. I was taught that if I'm going through something, somebody else in the church is going through the same thing, probably the whole body. Because I think, you know, when I go through something, we cry with those who cry. We weep with those who weep. We rejoice with those who rejoice. How do we know you're rejoicing? How do we know if you're hurting? You got a mask on. Take it off. Take your mask off before the people of God. They want to know the real you. Not a perception of who you are. In here, behind closed doors. Who you are, well, in this sanctuary. But who are you at home? We can put on a good show here, believe me. Yes. Praise God. Yes, praise God. Okay. So let's stop our negative talk. Let's stop being pitied, self-pity. I tell you what, sometimes I get in self-pity and I can just, ooh, Lord, forgive me. You learn to recognize it quicker and quicker and quicker. The last shall be first and the first shall be last. I see y'all, some of y'all ain't been saved nowhere near as long as me. Woo, you're going. You're growing. God's bringing you along tremendously and you'll probably surpass me and Mike one day. Won't he? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Glory to God. I love that by Sunday. The most important issue about beliefs we hold are not whether they are positive or negative, and that's what we usually base it on, but it's whether our beliefs are true, or they're untrue, or they're half-true. But a half-true is a lie, either way you look at it. But you know what? What the world will do, or some people, they'll put just enough of scripture on what they're saying that you'll believe it if you don't know the word. The enemy will scam you. This is something we need, and it's part of spiritual warfare. It really is. Us fighting to be who he wants us to be. Okay. Oh, this is a good one. We find ourselves stuck in a cesspool of sin and destructive behaviors, such as food addiction, drug addiction, pornography, overspending, workaholism, and other destructive archives. That's if you believe what the enemy says. You know, some of us may have had a rough childhood. I did. But praise God, I didn't bring that childhood into my adulthood. God showed me a long time ago. Okay, what we want to do when we get in these moods, we want to go into our old dusty archives that we got back here. Like, I committed adultery. I stole. I cheated on my wife. When life goes wrong, that's what we do. We look behind us, and open that door to our past. Don't ever open the door to the past. Keep it closed, because God don't value you by your past. He don't even remember it. He don't remember a thing, because he said he didn't. His sin, our sins are thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. You lied to your boss. You had a baby out of wedlock. You married an unbeliever. Self-deception says God is punishing me. Any of you ever think God's punishing you? Yeah. God doesn't love me. God may be good to you, but he's not good to me. You know, we can get in jealousy on that one. We could. Okay. The way we think reflects the way we live, how we behave, and what we can achieve. It also affects how we relate to other people, especially our family. We cannot love others if we don't have the God of love in our heart, because he is love. We have all sometimes, played the holiness police in people's lives. Whoop, think about that one. When we live out of a false identity, we subconsciously find issues in others so as to relieve the feeling of dissatisfaction in our lives. We want to justify our wrongdoing, our wrong thinking. You know, somebody could say something, and they're right, but you just want to find something. Like I said, people don't want a religious answer. They want a real answer. If you're suffering from pain or affliction, the devil wants to provoke you with this question: why did God do this to me? Any of you ever ask God that? I ask him all the time, God, why am I not healed? Why am I not healed? See, I have a pity party when I see people doing things that I know that I couldn't last 10 minutes doing it. If I went out with them, I'd ruin their day. I have to sit down 3 times to make my bed. And I get in a pity party sometimes. And then I remember, I didn't die. I'm alive. I can walk. I can still talk. I still can move my limbs. What am I thankful for? Thank you, Father, for being you, for loving me. See, when I was under that truck rolling around, the only thing I could say was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. And when they told me that only 1 in 1,000 ever survived the accident that I had, you tell me God ain't good. God is good, ain't he, Vicky? God is good. Okay. It's easy, people, to stay where you're at. Complacent. It's easy to do that. It's harder to change. Status quo will bring you down. Like I said, one step forward and 2 steps backward. That ain't the way God wants us to go, to keep on trucking. You know, it says there's a river of life in us. What does a river do? Flows. It never gets dammed up, does it? That's it. Woohoo! Oh my goodness, Jason, that was good, man. That was good. Glory to God. See, when I get tidbits like that from somebody, I can shout. That's shouting word, buddy. It is. Okay. You know, in God's word, he said, for my name's sake. When we claim God's word for his name's sake, he wants the glory from it. And guess what? If he don't do what he says he'll do, he don't get the glory. They're going to come against it. He said, let me think what it was. But I have said unto me, what's that scripture says? But I have done unto you. Anyway, I'll get it in my next set of notes. I know what I'm thinking, so I'll just have to get it in it. Okay. We have churches filled with people who can win Bible trivia but do not know the Father. Why do Christians live in weakness and do not have all that God promised? Anybody got an answer for that? There's no set answer. That's one of them. That's one, Stephanie. Why do we live beneath our privileges and our stinking thinking? That's what it boils down to. We have stinking thinking. We don't have a biblical mind. We don't. Our minds have not been transformed. We're working on it. But there should be areas that you are so solid in what you believe. Nobody could pull that, take that away from you. If you're in doubt in any area of your life, believe me, the devil will find that doubt and he'll turn it on you. Yes, yes. Praise God. Our minds were programmed through our sin nature before salvation. We did not have to learn how to be selfish, how to be bitter, how to tell a lie, how to be angry. We were programmed into that before Jesus. All that is already here. It's our sin nature. And it's a permanent house guest. It ain't going nowhere. That's the reason the Bible tells us we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. He didn't say he would. We have to do that. We have to fight that battle. And the only way we can fight it is to agree with what the Word says. Agree with the Word. God is looking, and he's going to find them. Hungry people. Blessed are ye when you hunger and thirst after righteousness, for you will be filled. Good things in our walk with God have become the best things. Do not become one who observes the outward forms, and that could conclude you, what you're saying, because some people are doing it just because everybody else is doing it. The human nature is like that. If you see somebody doing it, you do it. No, I'm talking about when you said, you know, the way you worship. Lee, we know you. Yeah, I do. We can become those who wear before men the uniform of Christ. These are they who are professing Christians, church leaders. There have been so many to fall in church leaders. So many of them to fall. But Daystar Joni was vindicated. She was vindicated. We pray that those people, those guys that failed, those church, those men of God, because they were men of God. We pray for them to be restored back to that place. Jim Baker was restored back. Jimmy Swaggart was restored back. They were restored back to the place of honor again. Who was it we heard talk about? Honor. When you honor someone, you place high esteem on them. And we don't ever want to let you down. Any of y'all that say that you respect me and love me, that puts a demand on me, Pat. Because I don't want to let you down. And I know Mike don't want to let anybody down. And you, we don't want to let you down because we want to be who you think we are and who God says we are. Did the bell ring? Okay. Can I listen to this? This is silly, but still, it does say a lot. Let's see. A place, the norm that we conform to and wind up feeling empty and miserable. We buy things we don't need. I used to do that. With money we don't have. To impress people we don't like. We get dressed every morning in clothes we buy for work, to drive through the traffic in a car that we are still paying for, in order to get to the job that we need so we can pay for the clothes in the car and can afford to live in our house. I guarantee you there's a lot of Christians living that way. A lot of them. The joy of the Lord has done run their gun. Okay. All the while feeling all is meaningless. That all things do not satisfy our egos. And we are ego hungry in this nation. We really are. We want to be accepted by the best of the best. But you know what? God loved us before we ever done a thing. Before we ever done anything. In order to claim our new identity in Christ, we lose our life so we can find it. We find our true selves in God. Because who God wants you to be is who you really are. But you've kept it. You've got that cloak on, that mask on that keeps it hidden. So you're not be a debutante. Let's come out for the world to see. You come out of the closet and let the world see you as a child of God. Let the world see your joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And believe me, it is. So anyway, I guess that better be all. Oh, wait a minute. John Wesley, y'all know who he was? He founded the Methodist movement. Well, John Wesley did all the things that he was supposed to do. He read his Bible. He witnessed. He went to America and began a missionary. He studied his Bible. He prayed. He fasted. He gave regularly, yet he was bound in his religious effort because he trusted in what he could not do to make himself right with God. Instead of trusting in what Jesus had done on May 24th, 1798, during a meeting of mostly Moravians, John Wesley's intellectual conviction was transformed into a personal experience with God Almighty. And if John Wesley can be confused, tell me who can't. all of us. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you for the truth of your word, God, the absolute truth of your word, God. We thank you for these ears that heard, the hearts that received this message. Bless them. Bless the service today. The singers, the dance team, whoever, God. In Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you, guys.